Let's continue reading Genesis chapter 20. Now in this chapter, we have Abraham lying once again about his wife Sarah, this time to Abimelech, one of the early Philistine kings. Genesis chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? Even she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing. And the men were very afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, 'This is your kindness that you should do for me in every place, wherever we go. Say of me, he is my brother.'" Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, "See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." Then to Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before all others." Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his maidservants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Once again, let's begin the study of this chapter with some background notes. After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham, in true Bedouin fashion, moved his tents once again, this time away from the area of Hebron, where he was living. From verse 1, we see that Abraham first traveled south toward the Negev and then turned west and settled in Gerar on the edge of Philistine territory. Well, that would be in the vicinity of the Gaza Strip today. Abimelech, king of Gerar, was one of the early Philistine kings. Abraham, in order to protect his own life, lied about Sarah and said she was his sister. Does that sound familiar? Abraham had done this same thing back in Genesis chapter 12 when they were down in Egypt. Well, the lie didn't work then, and it doesn't work now. In any case, God protected Sarah's purity by incapacitating Abimelech and then warning him in a dream. But God listened to Abimelech's reasoning and told Abimelech in verse 6, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me." Notice, by the way, that even if Abimelech had proceeded in ignorance, it would have been sin. Sin not only against Sarah, but sin against God. You see that? Standards are not lowered here. In verse 7, we have the first mention of prophet in the Bible. A prophet, by definition, speaks the word of God to the people, whereas a priest, by definition, speaks to God on behalf of the people. So Abraham was a prophet of God long before the days of the more well-known prophets such as Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Well, Abimelech gave Sarah back to Abraham and gave him a huge sum of money to ensure peace. 1,000 pieces of silver was a lot of money. Remember, the price of a slave even later was 30 pieces of silver. As a result of Abimelech's action, God healed him and his household, as we see in verses 17 and 18. Notice that the healing is the result of Abraham's prayers. Talk about the grace of God. In spite of Abraham's selfish mistake here, he is still God's spokesman for Abimelech. Let's move on now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal or teaching point number one. Mature believers can make selfish mistakes more than once. Mature believers can make selfish mistakes more than once. Who would have thought that Abraham, the man of faith, would have lied about Sarah, his wife, to protect his own life? This is the man who boldly fought the kings of the east and rescued Lot in Genesis 14. This is the man of faith and intercessory prayer of Genesis 18. And yet, Abraham lied about his own wife to protect his life. And more than once, he lied to Pharaoh in Genesis chapter 12. He lies to Abimelech here in Genesis 20. It seems from verse 13 that Abraham and Sarah had made some kind of an agreement when they left Ur that they would tell this lie. Verse 13 again. It came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, "This is your kindness that you should do for me in every place, wherever we go. Say of me, he is my brother." So maybe they made this mistake more than twice. The fact that Sarah was Abraham's half-sister, verse 20, doesn't make their lie less than a lie. There's no such thing as a half-lie. Now, what's the lesson here? Mature believers can make selfish mistakes more than once. The flesh doesn't get any better the older we get. If you're here this morning as an older, more mature believer, don't think that you are preserved from making selfish mistakes. You know, I mentioned to you that I'll be leaving here and this afternoon going to a conference in New York State. Now, most of the people that will be there will be older, more mature believers. But I can almost see it now. There'll be some scrambling around by these older, more mature believers to get the best rooms in the lodge and to get the best seats in the dining room. Right? Older, more mature believers making selfish mistakes more than once. It goes on all the time. We need to pray that the Lord would preserve us from making selfish choices in reference to our spouses, in reference to our children, in reference to job changes, in reference to retirement plans. A selfish mistake can take an active, productive, mature believer right out of the loop of God's blessing. It can happen. Mature believers can make selfish mistakes more than once. Doctrinal point number two. Mature believers may receive stinging rebukes more than once. Mature believers may receive stinging rebukes more than once. Probably the most stinging rebuke we as Christians can receive is when the Lord has to use an unbeliever to rebuke us. It happened to Abraham more than once. Pagan Pharaoh rebuked him in Egypt, Genesis chapter 12. And now Abimelech has to rebuke him. Look at verses 9 and 10 once again. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" What a rebuke. What a sad testimony. Did you ever receive a stinging rebuke from an unbeliever? You know, sometimes God has to use this form of discipline even with mature believers. Believers can sink lower than unbelievers when not walking by faith. Mature believers may receive stinging rebukes more than once. Practical application. Practical application number one. Let's not blame God for our selfish choices. Let's not blame God for our selfish choices. Look at the explanation Abraham gave to Abimelech as to why he lied to him. Verse 13. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me in every place wherever we go. Say of me, he is my brother. Can you believe it? Abraham is trying to shift the blame of his mistake here to God. When God caused me to wander. You know, there are several Hebrew words for wander. And the one that Abraham used here is generally used in a negative way. Abraham is blaming God here for his mistake, whether he realized it or not. He should have said, I was wrong. I've sinned. Have you ever blamed God for your mistakes? Let's not blame God for our selfish choices. I know a Christian couple who moved away from a very productive and fruitful ministry because they believed that God wanted them to start a Bible study in an area where there were very expensive homes. So they bought in there. When things did not work out, rather than admit that it was a selfish mistake, they tended to blame God for not giving them more guidance. To my knowledge, this couple never did get back on track. Let's not blame God for our selfish choices. Practical application number two. Let's not assume we know an unbeliever's heart. Let's not assume we know an unbeliever's heart. Look at what Abraham says to Abimelech in verse 11. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. Abraham assumed that Abimelech was a pagan king like all the rest of the Canaanites. But Abraham was wrong. Abraham was unaware that Abimelech did have knowledge of the true God and did fear God and had integrity of heart before God. Verse 6, God says so. And Abimelech obeyed what the Lord told him to do. Now, whether Abimelech was a true believer or not, or whether Abimelech became a true believer or not, we can't say. But his attitude of heart was certainly a lot different than Abraham had assumed. Let's not make the same mistake. Don't assume that all your worldly neighbors and party-loving people that you work with are pagans. Many of them are wearing masks, and underneath those masks, you will find the fear of God and an open heart to the gospel. Let's not assume we know an unbeliever's heart. You know, just last week, I gave this booklet entitled Ultimate Questions to an unbeliever in our apartment complex. Well, I didn't think he had read this pamphlet because he hadn't read something else that I had given him. Well, was I wrong? He not only read the booklet, but he went to church yesterday, of all things. Can you believe it? God is at work in this guy's life, and I thought he was totally closed. Let's not assume we know an unbeliever's heart.